Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Fair play. I wouldn't get up. I'm Samoan, and even I wouldn't get up from there.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Fighting out of Auckland, New Zealand, weighing in tonight at 208 pounds, he is the Daddy of the North, T.K. Kuba!
Yeah, keep it 100.
Success does not have a catchphrase, but it does have a name, and it does have a face. And it looks a lot like this, and it sounds a lot like the Headbutt Messiah, Mr. Riptide, TK Cooper.
TK Cooper, how you doing?
Hey, Tom, I'm good, thanks. What's up?
Now, in these tumultuous times, it takes a brave soul to continue to put themselves out in front of the world and say, yes, I 100% strongly agree that Yorkshire pudding and custard go together.
I don't understand why it's such a beef.
When did you realise that having Yorkshire pudding and custard was such a divisive thing to do?
When I got here for Christmas, I guess. Like, I just... So there's a buffet restaurant in New Zealand. It's defunct now. It's called Valentine's. And so you could just, like, fill your plate up with whatever. So I've never known that they were, like, a dinner thing, because I'd only ever seen them at this buffet, so I'd always have them with my dessert. Like, I just chuck like ice cream in it, or custard, or jelly, or just any, because it's a pastry, so I assumed it was like a dessert based food. I wasn't aware that you are supposed to whack it in with a roast and like slap gravy on it, so that was actually news to me.
Can you remember who you were with and the horrified faces they pulled when you did that for the
first
time?
Yes, it was around Christmas time, because that was when people were saying like, oh yeah, you know, we'll get some Yorkshire puddings in. And I was like, yeah, cool, like, that'll be good for dessert, we'll have this. And then, like, you know, the whole, the, like, if there had been, there would have been, like, a record scratch, and then a tumbleweed, and then some crickets, you know, just that awkward, like, so it was me, Spike Trevay, Damon Moser, and Candy Floss just there, just, like, mapping out what we were going to do for Christmas. And then they all just were like, what are you talking about? And then just started to just, like, verbally just, like, go to town on me.
I genuinely think you could start a movement, though. All jokes aside,
there seems like a, like, because as much as like the Twitter like joke of it was like Spike was healing me out for it, and then I was just like, oh, you got to be more open minded. Like, turns out there's loads of people who do just have like Yorkshire puddings with like jam. So,
well, there you go. There's a whole world of it out there. I mean,
yeah,
when
there's already a market for it.
There'll be a lot of people like me who would have seen that tweet and gone, actually. Okay. It's good. Cross the sweet and savoury divide. I'm a big fan of it. You're also a big fan of pineapple on pizza. So it just continues the questionable food gamut.
Yeah,
right there.
I've never really considered myself as like the, because I eat why I eat. So I just like, I don't think it's weird. And then it's only when I get put in like the public sphere that I'm like, oh, I'm the weirdo.
Forever embrace being the weirdo, TK. Forever embrace
it. Yes, I don't understand, because people are always like, oh my god, pineapple on pizza, but then their go-to will be a margarita. So I'm like, what, you want just cheesy bread?
It's true. When you turn it on its head, it's absolutely true.
the fight back is just like, oh you just want like all the options of pizza, and you want the boring one, you want the vanilla, you want the plain.
I think it was Sugar Dunkerton on Twitter who said he saw people raiding the bread and the pasta aisles, but all the spice aisles are still full. Like, you're just gonna be eating really dull food for the next 3 months.
All the Dolmio like pasta pots are still full there, but all the actual pasta, all the penne is gone. Burgers, yeah, I don't understand. Like, there's this other, like, there's probably not even like, this will just send us on another tangent. But recently I was talking to someone about I've heard you guys don't have it up there. It's a London based thing. It's not a New Zealand based thing. So I know that there's definitely a market for this one. There's this place called Dip and Flip where like you buy a burger, and then they give you like a pot of gravy for you to dip your burger into, and I think it's really nice.
Ooh, I quite like that as an idea, though. It's a little pot of that, pop it in. Yeah, I'm down for that.
You know, it's really sloppy and really messy, obviously, because like the bun and stuff and the you know, they just, you know, they give you a hamburger as it is, and also the gravy. But the minute the bun touches the gravy, it just turns to absolute like sloppy, soggy. But it's delicious. It's still really nice.
Gravy in a burger, fine with that. It's all right. It's meat and gravy. See, there's a few of these things that I'm hoping that people will initially hear it, and then once we've described the situation, they go, actually, I'm open-minded enough to try it. is there another weird food combo before we leave food altogether? I promise. Is there another one that maybe you haven't entrusted with the population yet?
Well, this is the thing, because I wouldn't consider what I eat weird, but I don't, you know, I don't like regularly go out looking for, oh, what can I put together that doesn't usually go together?
So, yeah.
Like, all the things I eat, I would assume are just like normal stuff. So I don't really know until I get called out on what is that. That I'm just having my lunch.
So keep an eye on TK Cooper should you ever go for a buffet with him. Eyes like a hawk on that guy. TK, we are sending you on a desert island, and before you go, we're going to burn
it. Got to self-isolate, you know, got to do it, coronavirus.
It's, you know what, it's suddenly a concept for a program that isn't far from the truth. It was very out there back in September, but now it seems appropriate. We're going to send with you three matches burned onto a DVD for you to watch whilst you are there. What would the first wrestling match be, TK Cooper? What's your first
one? The first one is, I bet this has been said before, so Rock and Austin from WrestleMania 17. Yeah, this time I'm gonna let it all come out. This time I'm gonna stand up and shout. I'm gonna do things my way. It's my way on the highway. Someday you'll see things my way. But you never know, but you never know.
I will give you every drop of sweat, every drop of blood, every ounce of energy I have. You are going to get the absolute best of The Rock at WrestleMania. I need to beat you, Rock. I need it more than anything that you can ever imagine. There can be only one World Wrestling Federation champion, and that will be Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin. With all due respect.
That's my definite go-to. I love, like, it's like the first time I feel like they introduced like false finishes properly, where like people were like swapping finishes and stuff. So it's so exciting, and I'm a massive fan of The Rock. Like, can you believe it?
I've seen in several interviews how you've said that like The Rock was like your wrestling idol as you were getting into it.
The Rock and Eddie Guerrero are like two like absolute faves. I remember the feeling of watching, like, I remember what I felt after watching it, or like during watching it, that I was like, this is the best match I've ever seen. You know, they always say about like going on a journey when you are a wrestler or when you watch wrestling, and like I just felt like that one was like so many ebbs and flows of like similar to The Rock versus John Cena. I think just because I was like a diehard Rock fan, so like I was like desperate for him to win. So every AA, John, and he gave him like loads as well. Every AA and every like STF, I was like begging for The Rock to get to the ropes, just because like I was so like blindly invested in The Rock winning. And I think the same for WrestleMania 17. Even though I already knew that he loses, I was like, no, come on, like please kick out. If I took anything away, which is just not really unique to this match, but just the false finish when Stone Cold kicks out of the people's elbow, I was like, wow. Like just that, I was like, that was his best move. What now? Combination of like impressed because it was such a great match, but then but then also like fury because I was mad that my guy didn't win.
What got you interesting in the first place?
I really have no idea. I feel like it was just like just channel scrolling, and then it just kind of ended up on wrestling, and then I was just watching it, and then I can't remember like the absolute start. I just remember like seeing it once, and then it just was a part of my like viewing, because it was like early 2000s, because like the my first like interactions with like watching wrestling was like the brand split, and just we didn't have Raw in New Zealand for a long time, so it was just like it was just only SmackDown.
That's why you saw The Rock so much, because he was the lead guy.
Yeah, exactly.
On SmackDown
then, like,
for a while.
Then he started to like phase himself out because he was doing more movies and stuff. So then it became more. And then I guess that's why it kind of phased into more Eddie Guerrero, because he started to become more of the focal point, like with the SmackDown 6, and he was like tag champ, and then United States, and then like then Top Dog. So tragically, none of my three matches are going to have Eddie Guerrero in them, which is a bummer. But we'll get to that.
Before you became a wrestling fan, before that infamous day where you were channel hopping and fell across it, what were your plans? Yes. What did you want to do?
I wanted to be a presenter. I wanted to be a radio or a TV presenter. I just really liked it. Like I really wanted to get into journalism for a bit. Like I was doing that. Like I studied like politics at university. So I mean, this was like that's like me time jumping ahead. Whereas like as a kid, I just really liked the idea of being of like traveling around, like interviewing people, like finding out about like. Not like finding out about disasters, like I'm really into disasters. I just mean like, you know, like being there at like ground zero, like here's all the stuff that's going on, world. Let me tell you about it. Yeah, they're just like reporting and keeping everybody up to date. I just thought was like a really cool thing. Not because I wanted to be like I didn't feel like any like responsibility to be the one reporting on it. I just thought like it was an interesting way to like learn about the world was like. Because you had to know the facts first.
He was a good presenter in New Zealand.
At the time there was like so similar to over here I guess where like there was two main channels with two main like sets of news at 6 p.m. So there was like Channel 1, which was like traditionally like the old people's channel, and then channel like so they'd all essentially deliver the same news, just like. Obviously, they've got two different channels, so they're doing it in a different way. But and then Channel 3, there was this guy called John Campbell, who was essentially just a really normal dude. But like, he didn't like any news presenter, he wouldn't like take a side on anything. But just the way he presented the news, I was like, this guy like knows his stuff. Which he, like, you know, they're just reading off the teleprompter. But like, he was really eloquent, and he was really like, I don't know, he just came across as down to earth, and then ended up getting his own like getting his own news show. After the news, where he'd like, you know, like a talk show host would get their own show kind of thing, but he'd like host the news for like another extra half hour.
So he'd get, yeah, so it would be not so much the news, it would be like the John Campbell show.
Yeah, it was originally called like the John Campbell show, and it wasn't like a comedy show. It wasn't like he wouldn't get on celebrities to talk about, yeah, it was like a real, like he would just talk about. Like one specific issue for half an hour and get on an expert, and then they'd go back and forth a bit.
The only thing I can seem to recall with John Campbell, because I'm a bit of a media geek like this,
of
when
course.
He was doing stuff at Eden Park.
We talk about this all the time, and usually we talk to adults and we leave children out of this, because whatever is going on, it's never the child's responsibility. But this little one is asleep behind me. I think they've been here overnight. Have you been here overnight? And so they, their family have come to get food and Christmas presents. And this is our country. And there's no point pretending this isn't our country, because it is. And those of us who are journalists see it quite often. Those of us who work in the sector see it all the time. There are many children here. And they are waiting for food that their families might run short of, and they are waiting for presents that they might not otherwise get.
It's probably a bad example because it doesn't really paint him in the right light. But you know, in The Simpsons, when the kids get the news show and Bart starts doing Bart's people.
Yes.
Yeah. So like that, but actually genuine.
But where, with
like,
gravitas.
Yeah, you know, with actual like meaning and not just to piss people off. Yeah, like he was really grassroots. He was really like. In amongst the people, and like even though he wasn't, he felt like one of the people. It felt like he represented me, kind of thing. Like, you know, I felt like I could identify with him. So it was like really, like, yeah, he was just really good at like pushing the like we're like New Zealand is a group, New Zealand is a community, as opposed to I don't know, just the class differential.
With the presenting side of things, do you feel like you're sort of exercising that muscle now in professional wrestling?
Yeah, 100%, because it's, I mean, In a different way, but weirdly, in a different way, but similar, you know, like I'm still out there performing. I'm still, you know, especially with like YouTube on like with me and Mamba doing ETM. That's very much like a welcome to the show kind of thing. But wrestling in general is obviously just still so much of a performance that it's easy to kind of like parlay the energy and the charisma that I probably would have tried to bring to had I been like an MTV host or whatever it was going to be.
What is happening, fans of EVM? It is a Friday.
And we are headed to a wrestling resurgence today. I'm in singles action against Harry Singh, the hometown boy from Leicester.
And I am in a four-way against Gene Money and Visage and Sugar Dunkerton. It's going to be a blast.
But in the meantime, we're on the road now. So, speaking of the road.
Ooh, and we got a Q&A.
Roll the B-roll.
There's still that parallel universe where you do go on to be an MTV presenter, but we are currently in the universe where you became a wrestler. And was there a moment where you decided, obviously we've talked about you channel flicking and finding Survivor Series 2001, finding the wrestling and just going, what was the moment where you went, I don't want to just watch this, I want to do this?
I can probably pinpoint it to around like 2006. So there was like there was this local promotion that I'd never heard of. It had just my mum found it in the, I don't know if you guys have the same magazine over here. It's called Time Out, and it just has like what's on in your area.
Yeah, there's something familiar, something similar called Time Out, and it's also a chocolate bar over here.
So I think we also had the chocolate bar, but that's semantics. Yes. So it was just in that it was in that magazine or in that brochure or whatever it was, and it just said like IPW live wrestling, and this was kind of on like my peak childhood fandom where my mom was like, oh, you know, there's wrestling in like down the road. It was actually like an hour drive, but so like after I saw that and I was like, wow, like I'd never heard of the indies. I wasn't aware of TNA. Like, I didn't know anything outside of WWE existed. So when I saw like wrestling with my own eyes in real life for the first time, I was like, oh my god, like people do this. I could do this. I want to do this. I want to be a wrestler. If they're wrestlers, I want to be a wrestler.
Your second match for your DVD, what's it gonna be, TK?
What was it? Oh, yeah. John Cena versus CM Punk, Money in the Bank.
It is all about the WWE Championship, the holy grail of the WWE, formed by Mr. McMahon's father, Vince Sr., back in 1963. The first champion was Buddy Rogers. In over nearly 50 years, only 40 men have held the honor of wearing this championship. The likes of Bruno Sammartino and Bob Backlund, Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, The Undertaker, Edge, Randy Orton, and that man, John Cena. It is the symbol of this company. It is everything to the McMahon family. And here we go. Cena versus Punk. One of the biggest matches in the history of WWE.
The storyline of it, where like CM Punk doesn't want to sign anymore, so he's just like, you know, he's having this last match, and he's not just having his last match. He's determined to leave the promotion with the belt. And then like how much they play on like the smart mark of it, of like, well, there's no way he's going to, because his real life contract is going to expire, and he's going to lose to like corporate stooge John Cena, and they're gonna make our indie favorite CM Punk at least, like, just all those elements of like the fakeness of like of the wrestling storyline, and then like the playing on the realness that everybody like is absolutely buying into, of like, oh my god, they're gonna make our favorite indie guy lose to the top WWE stooge and then send him on his way because his contract ran out. Unbelievable. And then the match itself is just magic, where just like the crowd hates Cena and loves CM Punk because obviously it's in Chicago. And then like all the shenanigans with like Vince and stuff, like tries to screw job him, tries to call for the bell early. John tries to, then John stupidly tries to be like heroic and be like, no, it's not gonna go down like this, I'll beat him myself. And then he runs in, loses, and then like Vince jumps on the headset, calls down Alberto, like so many shenanigans, like CM Punk kicks him in the head, runs out, blows him the kiss, and then runs away. Oh, so good.
You know when a match is good when you can sit there and just recite all of that off the top of your head.
Yeah, like that's so different to the The Rock and Austin one, like I just know that CM Punk one so vividly because it was just that one I watched live and just like could not believe what I was seeing.
Tell us this. Give us the situation where you were watching it. Were you watching it at home with friends? Were you out?
So I was at my friend's flat in New Zealand, and there was like a bunch of us, and I think the room was pretty split on like, you know, trying to play it smart of like, oh yeah, this is a cool finish for CM Punk to go out and lose, and the rest of us being like, no way, he's definitely gonna win. He's definitely gonna win. Well, no reason to either thing. Well, I guess the logical one would be to pick Cena, but then like you know your heart just wants to see something new and something different happen just to see where they take it. And unfortunately, it didn't really play out into a cool storyline. It kind of fell off right away, but. The match still lives, you know, is infamous. So the idea of what could happen to wrestling should he win type of thing, because obviously before then it had never happened before, you know. There was no test before this to be like, oh, you know, well, they've done this before, so this will probably just happen again.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Who was behind your training then?
Three main guys who are like stalwarts of like the New Zealand scene. Obviously, these are going to be names to the listeners who just will have no idea who these guys are, but I'm sure if they ever listen to this podcast, they'll appreciate me shouting them out. So it's Alfred Valentine, Johnny King, and Dal Knox. So that was the promotion that I'd seen a few years back, but so that was when I was 13 in 2006, and they had like a like the minimum age to train was 16, so I wasn't allowed to start becoming a wrestler until 3 years later. But then I left at a fourth and then didn't start training until I was 17 in 2010.
Talk to us about the first day you walked into training.
So it was actually a tryout, so there was about like I'd say like 20 or 30 of us, mostly like probably mid-20s or maybe even mid-30s, like classic wrestling, what I assume would be like a classic wrestling stereotype. Like, nobody's really in shape, nobody's really out of shape, but nobody looks like wrestlers. We're all just kind of normal dudes. And nobody's as young as me, though, which was crazy. But I guess, like, it wasn't as popular then as it is now. And this is New Zealand as well, so it's even, you know, it gets niche the more you, like, put caveats on it. So, from there, they just had us do like pretty basic stuff. Like, there was a load of cardio tests and then like tiny like wrestling related drills. Because obviously, like it's an implied tryout that they're gonna weed out. Like, they only want X amount of people. And then at the end of the tryout, they just picked, I think, 9 of us out of like the I want to say maybe 25, 30 of us. And luckily, I got picked. And then from there the next Saturday and every Saturday beyond that was wrestling training.
Tell me something that each of your trainers taught you.
Right. So Alfred Valentine was like my main, like he was the main trainer at the time. He was one of the top guys in the promotion. He was the champion just before I joined, and then dropped the belt to my other trainer, Johnny King. Most weeks I would be training with Alf, and then if he couldn't make it, like Johnny King or Del Knox would step in. So Alf was the first one who really he pretty much taught me all the basics of wrestling. Like I remember the very first day he handed us all, like, I've still got the book. He handed us all these like notebooks, same kind of size of book that you would take to school to like write like for class and stuff. And he just had us write down all the stuff we thought we knew about wrestling, all the stuff we wanted to know. And my biggest memory, I guess, is I still have that book now because I use it to write my matches in the back.
Oh wow! So it's the same book, yeah, but you keep everything written.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's slowly getting like into more pieces as it gets, you know, tossed around my room. Just I try to keep it in as good nick as possible because obviously I want to keep a record of all my matches just as like a thing to have when I give this up. That's the one thing that really sticks with me that he gave I can't really remember what the speech was, but I remember feeling like, oh yeah, one day I'll be a wrestler, and then I've got all the knowledge in this book, and it's got all my like gear concepts, all my gimmick concepts, like catchphrases, quotes, just ideas. Like anytime I have an idea, I mean nowadays with technology, I just use my phone and I just use the notes app and write stuff down. But like back in the day, had to get out the old pad and pen. Maybe one day it'll be worth something.
Fast forward, and you are now in the UK. What made you decide to leave New Zealand?
So I had been wrestling in New Zealand for about 4 years. It's probably worth noting that, like, I'm gonna do air quotes, but you can't see them. Wrestling in New Zealand isn't the same as what I'd consider wrestling over here. So the promotion I worked for in New Zealand runs once a month. So at best, that's 12 matches a year. Nowadays, I'd be able to wrestle. If I really put my foot down, you know, I could probably wrestle 12 matches in a week with like the camps and stuff. And I just wanted a new challenge. Like I wanted to get better, and I just felt like it was just a continuous loop of just going round and round, and I just wasn't wrestling enough, and just wasn't really learning any more than, like, people couldn't train me beyond their means. You know, they didn't have the knowledge beyond what they already knew, and I felt like I knew as much as them now. So I just needed to go somewhere else. And I didn't think that Australia was a drastic enough of a change, because obviously, like, they're a bigger scene than New Zealand, but like not didn't really feel like they were big enough. And then coincidentally, as I was looking to branch out, I just happened to see Progress put Chapter 13 on YouTube for free, and that just instantly caught my eye. That this is exactly what I'm looking for. This is what I've been thinking about. This is what I want to be involved in. That looks great. Again, not knowing that the wrestling scene in the UK was as big and as vast as it was, I just saw Progress and I was like, I want to be a part of Progress.
And that now has become a thing. Like we see you more and more on Progress, yourself and Spike Trevay and Chuck Mambo, you guys as ETM. A lot of people will be here because they would have heard Chuck Mambo on a previous episode, and we know you guys have a YouTube series, your tag team specialist as ETM. How did you meet Chuck? Tell us your side of the story.
He was like in one of my first trainings at the Knuckle Locks gym, formerly the, what the heck was it called? The Progress. What was it called? Who cares?
The Projo.
The Projo, of course. Duh. Great. Yeah. One of my first wrestling trainings at the Projo, just met Chuck Mambo, and then for the longest time, we were always just, you know, we're just like mates. We're just, you know, we never were that close. And then it more started to become a thing as we got into our careers in Britarrest, because at the time Mambo had a car and we seemed to be getting booked on all the same shows, so we'd always be riding together. So from that, it just sort of seemed to be like we just became more friends because we just spent more time together because wrestling made us. And then from there, we found out we just had loads of stuff in common. Like we both love Lord of the Rings. Obviously, I love it because it's actually like three really good films, but also because it's in New Zealand. And Mambo just loves it because he thinks it's a really good trilogy. So we bonded over that. For instance, we both kind of got the same sense of humor. So it's just, you know, it's just, it, like, we never intended to be a team. We never intended to, like, you know, we never had a plan to make a YouTube series. It's all just kind of like, oh, like, you like being the elite? I like being the elite. Well, you know, we're kind of on the road similar to them, but, like, in a Britrest way. Maybe we should vlog about it. And then that's kind of how ETM came about. And then the tag team thing was never an intention. It was just always just going to be me and Mambo on the road, out and about doing our thing. And it wasn't until a promotion asked, oh, like, would you like to, like, you guys do that ETM YouTube series. Would you like to be a tag team on, like, we're running a tag team title gauntlet. Would you guys like to be a team? And we were like, yeah, sure. Why not? Let's give it a crack. And then, like, as much as I think we both enjoy, like, singles wrestling and, like, have singles wrestling aspirations, it just is way more fulfilling, I think, to just be in a team with your best mate, because it's just a lot more fun. You're both out there doing the match together, like, getting the crowd engaged together. Just something strangely more satisfying when you do it as a tag team.
Mambo, what are you doing? What are all these, like, miscellaneous books that don't really apply to the scene?
I'll tell you what I'm doing, TK. I'm doing my homework, and I'm making sure I cast the right vote in this European Parliament thing. And I think I figured it out. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to march ourselves to the booth. Yes. We ain't voting for the Brexit Party.
Mm-mm. No.
We ain't voting for Theresa May. We are going to vote for either the Greens or Labour, I think. Yeah. Or, yeah, I think those two. Yeah.
I can't vote.
What?
I can't vote.
Listen, man. I know how you feel. Everyone's feeling kind of disenfranchised with mainstream politics. You get labeled as a Remainer. You get labeled as a Leaver. But we got to take the bull by the horns. We got to take the power back. And we got to get to those polls.
No.
Polls, not polls.
No, I literally mean, like, me. I'm not allowed to vote.
Dude, I get it. I felt the same way. You know what the internet's like? It'll bury you from the left. It'll bury you from the right. But you gotta
very relevant.
Yeah, very relevant. But you gotta just... It's anonymous. Don't worry about it. But you gotta get in there and make your voice heard. The time is now to make some change. Because I think this Brexit thing is gonna be a whole heap of...
I agree. It's bad. But it doesn't really apply to me.
Okay. What has got you so damn apathetic, you social nihilist? No, you get out of this house and you go and vote, man! You go and vote! Ow! Oh, that's some good democracy!
It's not my country!
It's not your country. It's not your country. I am so sick of this rhetoric that it's not our country anymore because the EU ruined everything! My God, DK, you make me sick!
We're going to get to your final match in a short while, but before we do, I like to drop this on the guests as the show goes on, because I want some immediate answers from yourself, as well as taking three... Sorry, it's nothing dangerous. As well as taking... or illegal. As well as taking three wrestling matches with you, I'm going to allow you to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item.
Ooh.
So, TK Cooper, what would you like your movie to be?
The Departed.
Ooh, straight in there. Why The Departed?
I love it. It's because my joke is always when anyone ever asks, like, what happens, like, if they don't know a movie, if you suggest a movie and they're like, oh, what happens? I just, everybody dies. Like, when Toy Story 3 first came out, I went to go see it, and then someone asked, like, oh, what happens? I was like, everyone dies, and then they were just shocked. So I always use it as, like, a response. It's just, like, a really blasé, everyone dies, whatever. And then in the Departed film, literally, everyone dies. If you haven't seen it, everyone dies.
It is literally a film where you can say, yeah, everyone dies.
But, I mean, it's also, like, a really great film. I really love, like, the gangster heisty style film. It's not so much a heist in this one, but, like, any other genre, like a traditional, like, action Mission Impossible style, like, action film, I do like the gangstery films. So The Departed is, like, probably one of my fave films, and it's just a great cast as well, like, really good ensemble cast.
Okay, how about an album?
Probably a Kanye one. I can't decide whether it would be Late Registration or 808s and Heartbreaks, though. I LimeWired all of his albums back in the day, you know.
Absolute legend. It's nice to hear LimeWire getting a nod. For those who
you know, if I couldn't get it on Napster, I'd chuck it on LimeWire. You know?
truth, like to in, you know, pun intended. Keep it 100, TK. Did you ever accidentally download Kanye.west.album definitely.exe and break your computer?
No, thankfully, no, no. Was that just some kind of virus?
Well, basically, there was anybody that would that could use anybody that used LimeWire. If you weren't paying attention and you were trying desperately to download an album, you might accidentally press download on an .exe file, which inevitably was a virus.
And it's gonna crash.
It would just break your whole computer. It may or may not have happened to me once, so I was just checking that you hadn't fallen the same fate.
Cannot confirm or deny whether it did or did not happen.
And a luxury item, sir.
Luxury item? Oh, what would I take? You know, I don't know. I'm not really much of a material guy, so...
Well, Chuck's taking his surfboard, FYI.
Right. I guess I'd take my Nintendo DS.
Anything you're playing on there?
I assume I'd get Pokemon Platinum. Really, I just rediscovered it in like a bag, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about this. So it is literally, like, I was just looking around. I was honestly just looking around the room trying to like pick something that I would want to take. So I've just popped that and been like, yeah, you know, that will pass the time.
So we've had on your three matches, we'll get to your third one now. We've had Steve Austin versus The Rock, WrestleMania 17. We have had the Money in the Bank smasher between John Cena and CM Punk. What is your third and final match, TK Cooper?
I love this match, but it's not like it's another WWE one for those hoping it might have been something outside the realm. But tragically, no. It's an older one, and it's a lower card match. I don't know why I'm preempting. I don't know why I don't just say it. So it's Scotty Too Hotty versus Dean Malenko for the light heavyweight championship.
Backlash 2000.
Scotty Too Hotty had more than a cup of coffee with the WWF light heavyweight title. And while his tag team partner, Grandmaster Sexay, is preparing to come off the injured list, Scotty Too Hotty has another opportunity here tonight to regain light heavyweight gold.
Can you imagine the damage he'll do if he wins that championship?
He'll worm his way all the way to the Lincoln Memorial.
He's wormed his way into the hearts of these fans, hasn't he?
Dean Malenko, the light heavyweight champion, regained the title last Thursday night on SmackDown, and certainly why not the most honorable means necessary.
Oh, come on, all he's doing, what is he doing wrong?
Well, he was holding the ropes, can you see that?
Well, I think he's just kind of leaning on the ropes.
Still illegal, you can't be in the ropes, you know that.
Look at the look on Scotty's face, he couldn't believe he lost.
After your three or four decades in the business, you know you can't hold the ropes to gain a victory.
Oh, come on, what are the ropes in there for?
So sick, because Scotty Too Hotty is Scotty Too Hotty, we just don't really think too much of him. But he really they let him put in quite a shift. Like, even like, you know, obviously Dean's the man of a thousand holds, but like he really like lets himself get whooped by then Scotty Too Hotty, who is, you know, arguably just kind of like a fun loving comedy character.
It just comes out of nowhere as a bit of a barnstormer.
I think it was just one of those days where I just wanted to put on a pay-per-view I hadn't seen from, like, way back. And then just, I was like, oh, Dean Malenko and Scotty, this would be, like, a, you know, 6-7 minute, this would be a quick one. And then it just goes and goes and goes. And the people really get behind Scotty because, of course, you know, I figure it's, like, similar to when, like, Santino was the last guy in the chamber with Daniel Bryan, where people are like, no way. There's no way. Oh, but I want him to. I want this to happen, but nah, there's no way. And then he gets some sort of offense and you're like, oh my God, he's going to do it. And then he doesn't do it. But like if nothing else, I remember the finish is just a top rope DDT from Dean Malenko. Maybe it was supposed to be a brainbuster, but man, like it's just a DDT off the top rope. Like both of them, not one of them like Randy Orton like hanging ones. Like they're both up there and they both jump, and then he just drills them into the ground. And I'm like, well, like that's not Dean Malenko's usual finish, but fair play. That I wouldn't get up. You know I'm Samoan, and even I wouldn't get up from that.
Nothing here.
This has been great to sit and chat wrestling with you, sir. I know this is a funny old time in the wrestling world, so I'd like to give you the floor just to plug away, tell people where they can find you guys on ETN, where you are on your socials. This is all yours, sir. Go for it.
Appreciate it. Hello, everyone. I'm TK Cooper, a part-time wrestler. Well, no, actually, no-time wrestler at the moment. Full-time website shilling salesman. So you can find me at PureTKC. That's PureTKC.bigcartel.com, where you can buy my new shirt and my new sweatshirt. You know, you got to stay warm in these self-isolating times. So be sure to pick up one, if not both. If you're aware of me and my tag team partner, Chuck Mambo, then check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/TKMETM. And then our merch is available at, Mambo made this one. So I think it's etmworld.bigcartel.com. So we've got a few options up there. Nothing new up there. We got no new Corona merch, basically. We've got no new Corona merch, but we did have plans to release stuff, but obviously, with the bloody virus, there's no merch. There's no merch doing the rounds. But I appreciate it if you're out there and you're listening and you'd like to support, because obviously my income is based on wrestling, which I cannot do anymore. So now I'm a fashion designer. So for the next 12 weeks, supposedly. So if you're out there and you'd like to support, I really appreciate it. No pressure, absolutely no incentive to send me your money, because obviously we're all going through our own struggles. But if you've got a bit of disposable income, I would super appreciate, and I will send you a wonderful pink sweatshirt if you do. Thank you.
John Campbell would be proud.
Oh, God, wouldn't he just?
This is our indie wrestling!
Nice.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.